Well, as I was sharing, one thing, if we're going to receive anything from the Lord, we have to do what? When it talks about having faith, walking by faith and not by sight, that means, as 2 Corinthians 4:13, we believe and therefore we speak. So we have to believe God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So we have to believe God, and then we have to speak what we believe. You know, the Bible, you know, when you think about it, this was spoken, and men penned it. But God gave us this word to not just read it, but to speak it, and to pronounce it, and to proclaim it. If you just think about just a thought here for your consideration. If you just think about Romans chapter 10, you know, the verses that we use for people to be saved, and Romans 10 in verse 8 and 9 and 10, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth," and then what does it say? "And in thine heart," that is the word of faith which we preach, and then what does it say? "That if thou shalt confess," see, confess what? "Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So it's not enough to just believe something. God has set it up so that we must believe and speak what we believe. And that's really where, when we talk about fruit of thy lips, the issue really comes in that we're not speaking enough of what we believe. So we may say something once that we believe, and then we say something else that negates what we just said. So we must be consistent in what we say. You know, God watches over his word. This is Jeremiah 1:12. He watches over his word to do what? To perform it. But I want to look at a few scriptures here this morning. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. When we talk about the word confession, and I'm going to share some thoughts today that for me exploded in me a few weeks ago. I was sharing with Minister Joe on the plane when we were going. It was just exciting to me. But Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So when you consider something, you know, we've shared this before, when we use that word consider, usually what that means is you consider something to come to some decision or a determination, right? You've considered something and you reach an opinion. That's usually what that word means. When I say, if you say to me, "I want to do this," most times, or let's say your child comes up to you and says, "Mommy, Daddy, I want to do this." And you go, "I'll think about it." Or, what does that mean? "I'll consider it." But you haven't said yes. You just said, "I'll consider it." So this is saying here, we are to consider the apostle and high priest. Well, it's not really meant the same way, but it means to consider. It means to perceive or behold. It means to consider attentively or to fix one's eyes or mind upon. So it's a little different use of the word. You know, sometimes when we look at words the way it was used the way the original King James was written, it's a little different the way we use words. It means it says, consider the apostle and high priest, it means you fix your eyes on him and him alone. So, in Hebrews 4:14, similar, it says, in the King James, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That means hold tight to your profession. Now, this word profession, and you can look at this scripture, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 10:23, not right this moment, but this word profession actually means confession, and the Greek word for this is homologia. That's what it means. So how do you find out what that means? You just look it up. And that word, homologia, means to say the same thing. Speak the same thing. So what is this actually saying? It's saying, hold fast our confession, speaking the same thing. Oh, that's a little different. Speaking the same thing over and over. Speaking the same thing, God's word. So here, this is saying, and what is it saying? When we say, let us hold fast our profession, it's talking about words, not just believing. It's talking about words here. What are you saying? And then it's saying, homologia, it's saying, hold fast saying the same thing. Not one thing one day, something else another day. I sure hope God meets my needs. That's not holding fast to your profession or saying the same thing. So let's look at Hebrews 10:23. And I want to kind of land on something today, the word expectation. So we're going to get there. And this, if you will begin to see this, think about it a little more and meditate on this, it'll change your life. Hebrews 10:23, it says in the King James, let us hold fast. Here's this word, hold fast. It means, let us hold fast what? The profession of our faith without wavering, without changing, for he is faithful that promised. Now, this word profession is the same exact word again, homologia. It's the same Greek word that's used in Hebrews 4:14. Let us hold fast our profession. So now here in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast our profession, saying the same thing. But now, does anybody know what the word faith means? I thought I did. You know, I've been taking time when I look at scripture lately to just look up certain key words in a verse to see, well, what Greek word are they actually using here? Yeah. And this word for faith is not the word pistis or believe. The word faith is the same word that's used in Hebrews 11:1, which is expectation. Oh, man, that opened up something for me, because this is exactly what Mark 11:23 is saying. When you look at this word in Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast, saying the same thing of what we expect. Because faith, this word faith, is the word for expectation. What are you expecting? And what are you saying about what you expect? That's Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what is that saying? That's saying, I'm saying what I expect. And I'm saying it over and over. Isn't that what the woman with the issue of blood? Isn't that what she did? It says she heard of Jesus, and she made her way in through the press of the people, and she kept saying, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She said over and over what she expected. This is Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession or saying the same thing of what we expect. Nothing wavering. So what is it that you expect in life? This is going back to doing what? This is the same thing that we just got done reading in Hebrews 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. And he shall be filled with the increase of his lips. So you are going to have to say what you expect. And what is it? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for or expected, the evidence. My faith is the evidence of things not seen. So when I expect something, it's the ground, the support is what? God's word. So when God says, I'm healed, and he says, by his stripes ye were healed, it then doesn't matter what my body's doing at that point. I'm saying, I expect to be healed. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. She said, she heard of Jesus. What? She heard that, she must have heard everybody that went to him that touched him was healed. And that woman should not have been out in society. She was unclean. So she took her life and put her life at risk in that society to go out in that setting and to just press her way to touch him. But she kept saying what she expected. So we're, you know, in our life, we're trying to figure out things when God never said to figure out. He said, believe and speak, and he will bring it to pass. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So this is something that excites me because this word, let us hold fast to this. Don't waver. Hold fast to saying the same things that you expect. And this is one of the things that we share. You know, what is it that you're expecting from the Word of God? You know, a lot of times when you think about this, go back and look at your own life and see where you started. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. Are you expecting from God the same way that you expected 20, 30 years ago? Have you grown to expect more? Do you expect differently today than you did 20, 30 years ago? I do. Why is that? Because your faith has grown. And because your faith has grown, your expectation has grown. So a lot of times people don't step out. You know why they don't step out? Because they don't expect. So they hold back. So a lot of times when God prompts us to do something, he's trying to do what? Get something to you. You know, I just share this. I remember this because it's so real to me. When I was sowing finances, you know, I stepped out. I was giving 20, 30, sometimes higher than 30%. I still do, but I've chosen to do that. And then I began to think, I'm not seeing the results of this. So I'm thinking, right? Rather than saying and confessing and expecting, right? Instead of expecting that my seed is going to sow, produce. I mean, just think about it. Let me digress. What farmer, just think about it. It's insane. What farmer would spend thousands of dollars to buy seed to sow and go, I sure hope we get a crop? Why would you do that? That's insanity. You know why the farmer expects a harvest? Because all things being equal, he knows from experience, and he's seen others, and he has what? Faith in the seed. He has faith in the seed to do what? To produce. So he expects that thing. If the ground is good and the season's good and the rain is good, I'm getting a crop. So my question is, when you plant your seed, whether it's time, whether it's your money, whatever it is, do you expect God to fulfill? He said, I'm faithful that promised. 2 Corinthians 9, over in verse 10, he says, I give seed to the sower, I give bread for food, I multiply your seed sown. Man, you try to get that from an investor. Huh. But God said, I will multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Do we expect that? And if we expect it, are we holding fast and saying the same thing of what I expect? And in most cases, nada. No, we're not. And so it's an adjustment we need to make. We need to say, I sowed my seed and I'm expecting God to multiply my seed. That's why God spoke to us, myself, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Greg, said, you call in $80,000 a week into this ministry. And we've been doing that for years. Does it always come in? No. But it doesn't matter whether it comes in or not. You speak what God has directed you to do. Because I don't know what he's trying to pull together. I don't know. But if you speak it, then you give him the right to then move upon people's hearts to do something so that God can bless them and increase them and give them an opportunity to grow in faith. Right? So we need to think about that. That when we sow our time, when we volunteer, it's not just, oh, I'm volunteering, praise the Lord. What are you expecting for your time invested? Are you expecting God to return back to you, multiplied your time sown? You should. Right? Whatever time you're giving. If you come and you sow your time to support God's work, on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whatever time, whatever the ministry, just think about it. We are called to serve God. Not just come, I mean, just think about it. We're not just here to get our things met, all of our needs met. We're here to believe God and to walk by faith and to serve him. So for us, it's, just think about this. Living by faith is not an option. It's mandatory. He said, walk by faith and not by sight. So that's not an option. That's mandatory. We're to walk in love. That's mandatory. So it's not just getting our needs met, but it's doing the will of God. We walk by faith to do his will. So when God directs us and he tells us to bring our tithe into the storehouse, that's not an option. That's a requirement from God, and we can expect him to bless us. But if we're not speaking that, what are we giving him? What are we? It's faith that does what? Causes God to respond. What is Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who, just think about it. No, diligently seek him. So we need to seek God in our belief and our words. Praise God. So when we talk about, let's go and look at Hebrews 11:1. I shared that, but I want to share a few other translations that'll help us. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, it says, now faith is the substance. This word substance is confidence or the ground under. It's the support. You know, you have confidence. How many have confidence sitting in that chair you're sitting in? Yeah, you sat down in it. You have confidence. Why? Because you know it's not just the chair, it's the floor that chair is sitting on. So it's the same thing. I can expect something from God because of the foundation or the ground or the support of God's word. So this says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things expected. Now, listen to this is God's word translation. I'm going to read God's word translation and then the authentic translation. This is God's word translation. It says, faith assures us of things we expect. I like this. This is what God's word translation says. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Mm-mm-mm. This is the authentic translation. This even is clear. It says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. The proof of unseen actualities. The authentic translation. Faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. Mm-mm-mm. The proof of unseen actualities. That's why the Word of God is so precious and dear, that faith, the continual feeding of the Word of God, brings revelation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. But faith comes through revelation of the word of God. So when I see something and I know it, that's faith. And faith forms the ground, or the solid ground, for my expectations. So when faith comes in the area of healing, when faith comes in the area of finances, when faith comes in the area of peace, when faith comes that I overcome worry, I can expect to walk in peace because of faith. And faith forms the solid ground for my expectation. So when faith comes and I see the word of God, I may not feel different, but I know. Then I can walk in a greater expectation because I know. That's faith. When faith is there, I can step out. What happened to Peter? When Jesus said, come, that one word was faith. He stepped out of the boat expecting to walk on the water. And he did, until he got his eyes off of Jesus and onto the circumstances. But this is something I wanted to share. You can write this down, because this is too powerful to overlook, or type it, bookmark it, whatever you're going to do. The proportion of your faith will be exhibited in the measure of your expectation. The proportion of your faith will be exhibited in the measure of your expectation. Great expectation, great faith. Little expectation, little faith. What am I saying? When faith is there, you expect something. I'll give you an example. How many here work for an employer, or maybe you have your own job, I don't know, your own company? But let's just use for an example, you work for someone. They bring you in and they say, you know, we like what you're doing. We're going to give you a raise, or we're going to give you a bonus, whatever that bonus is. You haven't gotten it yet, but you trust your employer that I'm getting a bonus. Woohoo. And you begin, because of faith in your employer, to fulfill, just like Jesus, he is faithful that promised. You're expecting the money. And you begin to do what? Talk about it. Hold fast. The confession of your expectation. Oh, every one of us in here, if you get a nice big whopper bonus, you're already talking to people. You're talking to your wife, your whoever. Oh, yeah. And you've already spent it. We're going here. We're doing this. And you're confessing and saying your expectation based on faith in your employer to give you the money. Well, when faith comes from the word of God, I don't have the physical results in my body for healing, but I'm expecting it because he's faithful that promised. And I'm speaking my expectation. So the measure of my faith is exhibited in the measure of my expectation. That's why it's so important to keep feeding on the Word of God. Keep feeding on the Word of God. Keep watering it, because faith will grow. And when your faith grows, then your expectation will also reach out further, stretch out further for things that you said before, I wouldn't have done that. But I trust God. I believe God. Right? Let me say it another way. I'm going to say it one more time. The proportion of your faith will be exhibited in the measure of your expectation. Let me say it another way. The proportion or measure of your faith will be seen or exhibited or demonstrated by the measure or degree of your expectation. This is what I was saying before. We start where we start. But I'm not today expecting like I was expecting 20 years ago. I'm expecting differently because my faith is different. My trust in God is different. So my expectation is different. So we need to be growing in our faith, feeding on the Word of God, and expecting greater things. Talking about your expectations, whatever they are, not just hoping God will just shower me with something, and why is he blessing this one over here and not me, and how come, and all. No. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So that's why when we say, this year is the best year that I've ever lived. I'm going to do more. I'm going to earn more. I'm going to be healthier this year. I'm going to do better this year than I did last. This is my best year. Now, maybe you're walking through the worst year that you've walked through. But what does it say? We've got to reach out, stretch. It's like Brother Hagin said when he was alive. He said, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get them all. So we need to set goals that we absolutely know. There's no way I could reach that. There's no way. In the natural, I can't. Good. Reach high. Reach out. Stretch out. Begin to say with your mouth, I'm going to have that. I'm going to do that. We're going to achieve that. And that's why it's so important on an individual level that you do it. It's not just for us to get things. It's for us to please God that we walk by faith and that we're more productive in the kingdom of God. That we do more for him. God is going to see who's operating faith. Who's work? I mean, if you were a good business person, you had your own business, wouldn't you be looking for people in your organization that have the qualifications you're looking for? You're looking. Are they doing certain things in the company? That's how promotion comes. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. When we begin to walk by faith, we begin to stretch out and do things, God's going to use us in a greater measure. That's what we're looking for. But it's got to be where we apply these things in our life. Hallelujah. Now let's take a look at Matthew 8. You say, well, where is some of these principles in the Word of God? All through it. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. I'm going to read from the King James. This is the story of the centurion. So we're talking about the proportion of faith is measured in your proportion of your expectation. So here we have the story of the centurion. Starting in verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home." What did he do? He said something. "My servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." So he beseeched him, or he beckoned him to come. And Jesus said, next week. No, he said, I'll come. He didn't put up roadblocks. He said, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." So we can see here, Jesus was saying his faith was great, so was his expectation. He was expecting Jesus to just speak the word and his servant would be healed. And Jesus said, great faith. So we can see here the measure of the faith was what? It says the proportion of the faith was exhibited in the measure of the expectation. Great expectation. That centurion recognized, he said, I'm a man under authority. I tell this one, go do this, and they go do it. And they obey, and they follow my orders. He also recognized that Jesus was under authority. And so he recognized that whatever he said would come to pass. So he expected that. So he said, you don't have to come, just speak the word. So he had great, what? Expectation, because he had great faith in Jesus. Let's look, again, we highlighted this. Let's take a look at the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Classic. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and it says, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic. "And there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years, and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus." See, this is where faith comes. She heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, this is what we're talking about. She kept saying, "If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health." And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And then I'm going to jump down here. Verse 33, it says, "But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith, your trust, and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease." So she continually said, and Jesus said, because of your faith in God and confidence, says you've been restored to health. So what am I sharing in all of this? I'm sharing that this year, make those adjustments. Begin to ask God where you need to make some adjustments in your speech. Just remember, faith is demonstrated. Faith is an action. Faith is an act. And your action, we believe, and therefore we speak. And so in our life, you know, that's why when you look at, I'll just look at this one scripture here. Let's take a look at Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. I'm going to read this from the King James. It's our continual affirmation, our continual profession that has value, that has impact. So Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to do what? To will and to do of his good pleasure." Who's inside you working? It's God in you working in you. Let me read this. It's an entry that I read every day. Health food and faith food. I do read those every day. But this was something that Brother Hagin wrote, and it was a story about a man, and he said here, "I remember the story of a man who had a malignant growth on the side of his face. He said it looked like a big purple eggplant and had grown almost as big as his head." That's pretty big. So he had a growth on the side of his head, the size of his head. And he said, healing evangelist, it looked like a big purple eggplant and had grown almost as big as his head. The doctors wouldn't touch it. They had done preliminary examinations, but said that he'd live longer if they left it alone. The man had been in all kinds of healing meetings because he believed in divine healing. Healing evangelists had laid hands on him. The pastor had anointed him with oil and prayed. Many people had prayed. Then one day the pastor said to me, meaning Brother Hagin, "I noticed that the growth, though it was still there, began to shrivel. I could see that it was shriveling. The whole church could see it. Within 3 or 4 month period, we saw that thing get smaller and smaller. Finally, the man came to church one day, and there wasn't a thing in the world wrong with his face. Every bit of that tumor was gone, and all the skin on his face looked like new baby skin. The pastor asked him what happened." This is an interesting story. "He told the pastor that he had been reading his Bible." It's the word. I mean, there's nothing wrong with laying on of hands. There's an impartation of healing. But you still got to say and believe what you received. So he was reading his Bible. And he said he came to Philippians 2:13. Now listen to what he said. "Every morning when he looked in the mirror, he would put his hand on the growth and say, 'God's working in that. God is working in that.'" Philippians 2:13 says that it's God that it's at work in me, and he's not only working in my spirit, he's also working in my body. He said this, he kept saying that for days and weeks. He kept saying what he expected. And after about 3 months, he saw that the growth was beginning to shrivel, and eventually it all just disappeared. And this is what Brother Hagin said. Now, God didn't single that fellow out to bless him. The man saw the word, read the word, and began to believe the word for himself. And he received what the word said. So when we walk through life, what am I saying here today? When we walk through life, there are going to be things that come up in life that we didn't expect. But when we see the word and believe the word and speak the word and we consistently profess what we expect without wavering, God is faithful that promised. He's going to watch over his word to perform it. So I'm not saying don't go to doctors. We believe in doctors. We believe in therapists, whatever kind of help you need. But do not put your trust in man. They're limited. Put your trust in the word of God. Let faith rise up and keep speaking what you expect. That's what that man did. He saw the word. It's God that's at work in me. And he said, he's at work in me. He's at work in this growth. And it began to shrivel after about 3 months. I know Mrs. Hagin shared a story a couple of years ago. It was 4 or 5 years ago. We were out at Rhema, and she fell. She was doing something, running somewhere, and she fell on her tailbone. You know, they call it your coccyx bone right here on your backside, and it can be pretty painful. And she said, she went to the doctor. She said, now, I've had children. This was worse. She said the pain was excruciating. And she said, went to the doctor, and she said, they gave me the strongest pain medicine that they could give me. And she said, it did nothing. So she said, you know, the doctors told her, well, you'll just have to live with it. Well, not her. She said, mm-mm. So she said, her and her husband, Pastor Hagin, he said, you just say this, that the healing power of God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body, you know, removing that which Satan has wrought in your body. And she said, if I said that 100 times, I said it 1,000 times a day. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. And she said, after about 3 months of pain, the pain began to subside a little bit. And after 6 months, non-existent. So we have to, in the face of certain things, we've got to do what? What is the scripture in Romans 12:2? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to have to prove the word. We're going to have to see it, accept it, and prove it. And so when we face life's issues, we've got the Holy Ghost living in us, the Word of God we have, and we can overcome every single obstacle that the devil throws up or life throws up if we take this Word and get it down in our hearts and speak it. We'll overcome. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that nothing is impossible with you. We thank you that all things are possible with you. And we thank you, Father, that we are overcomers in life. We thank you, Father, that you're working in us, perfecting that which you've done in us. And we thank you that you're working in us, bringing to pass your will. And so we thank you, we exalt you, we thank you this day for strengthening us, for encouraging us. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, praise God. You know, we never conclude any service, and we, you know, I just share most people here, we know we're saved, we're born again, and we always give people an opportunity to get right with God if they're not. But also, if there's anyone here that's going through something, you need prayer, you need healing in your body, you know, we're here to pray and to lay hands upon the sick, and we expect that there's an impartation of healing power into the body to arrest that which is in your body. So we're here if you need that, and also prayer of agreement if you need that. But we expect God to demonstrate himself in the midst of us. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. So Father, we thank you this day, and let's make this profession of faith, if we're all saved, let's make this profession of faith. Father God, I thank you that I am saved. I believe that you are the Christ, and I believe that you were raised from that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I thank you that he is my master, he is my savior, he is my Lord. And I serve him with all of my heart. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you live in me, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you lead us and guide us every day of our lives. Thank you that you prosper us. You supply all of the direction that we need in this life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen.